If you want a little show and you don't know where to go, put on your headphones and hit the mark.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to Hit the Mark with Mark Levy. This is your host, Mark Levy. Of course, giant thank you to Paul Laudiero and Lauren Bester. Both those were great episodes. I really enjoyed recording. You guys seem to really enjoy listening to. In case you can't tell, we're not actually in my apartment right now. We're starting not too far from there, but we will be getting there eventually. There's an Uber being summoned. This is going to be a fun episode.
I'm trying. I got to change my credit card information.
Okay.
Don't put my credit card numbers
in. I'm not. I really don't want to. I've been on your show many times. I know what personal information to give out and what not to in shows. That's our guest. We'll hear from him very shortly again, which is totally cool. I like this guy a lot. Yeah. I want to give a quick wrap up of Bally Everything with the whole 12-hour set. It went shockingly well. People showed up. People watched. People bought a lot of alcohol and a lot of liquid in general, which is great. I want to thank everyone that's involved in making it happen. I want to thank everyone that listened to my mental breakdown episode last week, which has been described to me as a mental breakdown episode. I don't call it a mental breakdown. It's just Mark was really, really nervous about a show that he hoped turned out good, and it turned out pretty well. I'm still a little tired from the show, which is okay. People seem to really enjoy it, so I thank you guys for coming out to that. There might be some more stuff coming up. There's always stuff coming up with the Treehouse. I'll be announcing a show list later in the plugs at the end, but that doesn't matter. Of course, you know, if you want to support the show, there's so many different ways you can support. You can go to iTunes, can rate us, review us. Today's quote, if you want a free shirt, I love it, the Mark, especially when it starts at the Atlantic Terminal Mall outside Guitar Center. That is an insane specific, and I love it. That's the full thing. So you write that full thing down, email htmpod@gmail.com with a photo of you, like with a thumbs up in iTunes. You will be getting yourself a free Hit the Mark shirt sent to you. You can go to Zazzle, buy your shirts, hats, mugs, all that good stuff. We have a store there. I like recording them all. I think it's kind of fun. I don't know if I want to do a whole episode of them all.
You should get your merchandise in the mall.
That'd be cool.
So that people can just go to a mall to buy it.
Yeah.
Rather than going through the trouble of typing on a computer.
Well, Zazzle's like, you know, not that hard, but
we're... Oh, our Uber is on its way. It's wow. 2 minutes away.
2 minutes, so should we hop outside?
Yeah.
All right. So, today's guest, you've heard him talk already twice today. Before I get to the guest, I have to do the... If you go to hitthemark.podomatic.com, you will see all the episodes of the show. And you can see a PayPal button on the side. You can donate as much or as little as you want to the show. It helps the show. Keep the show going. Keeps the bandwidth flowing and all that stuff. It helps everything. So, guys, thank you so much for everything. Today's guest is a person I have a lot of respect for.
It's Firuz, the Uber driver.
Okay.
He's driving a Toyota Camry. He's your guest.
That's my guest?
Yeah.
Not this guy I'm talking to right now?
Yeah, I guess me too.
All right. So, this guy, I've been on his show 4 times.
At least.
His show's pretty much the exact opposite of my show, but still very funny. I'd say funnier in a lot of different ways than my show could ever be. I don't know what that meant, but I'm okay with that. Which corner are we going to?
I think we're just going right up here.
All right, that's cool. He's Jesse P.S. We'll be talking to him very shortly. I'm okay talking to him now, too. First, I want to do my quick film review. I saw Furious 7, which made me very unfurious because I really enjoyed it. I saw it at the Ziegfeld Theater, which hopefully will not be closing, because I'm a little afraid it's going to close after this article I read. It's one of my favorite theater. It's my favorite theater in the whole city. It's the best theater in the whole city, that's for sure. But the movie itself, I'd say it would be a perfect conclusion for the whole series, but apparently it's going to be number 8 coming out. I mean, honestly, if you know what these movies are like, you're going to love it. Like, that's just the way it is. If you're a fan of these crazy, crazy movies, then I highly recommend it. Because I love it. I fucking love it. I think that they're so much fun. And they're really enjoyable. I have come up with a fan theory for the series, because if you know the movies at all, you know that the first three, they're just normal, like, drag racing movies, and after that become, like, straight-up crazy action movies. Every major character has missed at least one of those movies, so what I believe is, while they were gone, they became superheroes.
And this is about family.
Family!
Family.
You saw Fast and Furious 6, right?
I didn't.
Oh, there is this...
My plan is to watch them in reverse order when they're done.
Like reverse chronology order? Or
when the septilogy is complete.
But you know what? I say see it to Ziegfeld, guys. I saw it Monday night at the Ziegfeld. It's pretty empty there. And I'm very happy that I saw it with a whole bunch of friends. And it totally hits the mark. So as I said, today's guest is someone I'm a huge fan of. I think that they're awesome. They're bold. They're funny. Good guy. I don't know if I should say that.
It's not true. Yeah, you're lying to people.
Okay.
Well, we're just catching a bus. There's a bus just shot. Our Uber driver is lost. He, like, seemed to have driven right by us, and he's, like, kind of just circling around.
What kind of car is it?
A black one, usually.
No, it's a...
It's a Toyota. A Toyota Camry.
Okay. That's not him. That's in the green cab. But that's okay. I never said...
He's actually that direction.
Oh, yeah?
He's in the opposite direction from the direction we're standing currently.
Oh, he's like... Oh, okay.
We'll show up, you know. We'll
I hope so.
Out. Maybe we'll have to run across traffic. That would be cool.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
We might be the mark and this hit the mark.
Oh, no. That's like the 5,000th time that joke's ever happened in this show.
Well, of course.
And there's only 190 episodes.
There's so many buses. A guy just spit in front of that bus.
Oh, yeah,
he tried to spit on the bus.
Do you want me to finish introducing you still, or?
No, I don't want you to ever introduce me.
Okay, I said your name already.
Did you? I didn't even hear it.
Before I do the review.
Oh, that's right.
Well, how are you doing
Wait,
today?
Who am I again?
Jesse P.S.
Nice.
Yeah.
I am on right now.
Really?
A lot of them.
Okay.
None of them prescription. Not my prescription.
What kind are they?
Let's see. I got a couple uppers, a couple downers, some cartwheels, I'm really hopped up on goofballs right now.
Yeah, yeah.
With chia pet seeds.
Those are good seeds.
I'm doing some, I'm doing Nidoran, which is a Pokemon.
Oh,
both
okay.
Male and female. I'm doing both of those.
And by the way, I love your shirt right now.
My shirt?
The Mega Man shirt.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I just put them on. I have to wear a black t-shirt for work. I'm coming from work.
Right, yeah. So I was inside.
Don't tell
your
people
job.
Where I work, though. Because you already said where we are.
I said them all.
Yeah.
And the place they said we started outside is not where you work.
I'm a secret agent. You don't know.
He's an LIRR driver.
This guy's not coming. I don't think this guy's.
You want to cancel it and try to get like a. Oh, no.
Will that cost me money if I cancel?
I don't know.
How does Uber work?
I'm gonna
old men.
Should I pause this for a second while we?
That is up to you, Mark.
I'm gonna pause this for 1 second. We're recording.
Okay. I don't know how well this will work outside. It's a message.
You want us to leave a voicemail?
Yeah, I'm gonna leave a voicemail. Hey, man, where are you? Where are your Uber ride guys? And
we're outside Target. Men's Warehouse.
Yeah, we're outside Men's Warehouse, and you're just kind of like rolling around in circles. So whenever, man. Hey, okay, cool.
Should I hop in first?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi, Dan. Jeep, yeah?
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, we didn't...
No, but I can't stay on somebody seat on the traffic.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah, no, I just thought you were coming back around or something, you know, because it didn't say anything. It never said you arrived. You know, you got the destination?
No, 6th Avenue.
Yeah. Yeah, I put it in there. You got it. You mind if I smoke?
No, sir.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. I wasn't going to anyway. I was just kidding. Mark.
Yeah.
How have you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
I've been pretty good. Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen you.
This doesn't work. Your seatbelt doesn't work. I don't like. Need to be.
Oh, it's the inner one, right?
What's that?
Is it the inner one?
Is there another one?
Another one? What does this say?
What happened? Some real fat guy must have sat back here, huh? He's digging in here.
Yeah, that's the sound.
Mm. Who
boy, somebody really didn't want to buckle their seatbelt.
Oh my god.
What the? All right. Well, you know what?
No, man, it's not a big deal.
That's cool. Don't run into anything. All right, I'll look for it. I got it. Oh, you got it. Nice. You found it.
Cool.
That was a lot of digging for that. That was like.
But yeah, we haven't seen each other in a long time. I feel
long
like.
Long time.
Well, only because I got hired at my current job. Yeah. And they normally like me working Sunday nights. And right. I already have Monday nights off for Sunday to do like a lot of improv stuff.
Yeah.
So. Can't really be like, hey.
I know. I want you to come back on my show.
I really want to, though. Like, I really.
Did we say the name of it?
Pot Awful.
Pot Awful, yeah.
Really great show, guys. Like, it's really, really funny.
Here's the thing. Anyone that listens to your show hates me. I want to go ahead and put that out there.
I'm not.
You know what? I don't even want to talk. Let's not talk about the show. Let's wait. I'm sorry. So is it Farouz? How do you say your name?
Yes, Farouz.
Farouz? Yeah. Oh, okay. Where are you from?
I'm from Russia.
Oh, okay. Oh, cool. How long have you been here?
3 or 4 years.
3 or 4 years? Cool. From Russia. Where in Russia?
This is Moscow.
Oh, Moscow. Is that the capital?
Yeah, capital.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What brought you to America?
Oh, nice.
It's nice?
It's nice.
It is nice.
Although today's a little bit overcast and nasty.
Yeah. When did you start doing Uber? When did you start driving?
Almost 2 years.
2 years? Oh, wow. Long time. Have you always been in New York, or did you live anywhere else in America?
No, in New York.
Just New York? That's cool. See, that's more interesting.
Yeah.
How am I going to be coming from Russia, you know?
Russia?
I'm from Virginia.
I mean, my background's Russian.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm like...
Do you speak any?
No.
Could you talk to Farouz?
No, I can't. No. Like, that's like a couple generations ago, so... My family is all like, my parents are all like second or third generation.
I only know the dirty words.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, schlabbled. That means, it's hairy butthole.
Oh, really?
No. I made that up. If I had said that, he wouldn't have even known what I was saying. I did say it.
He probably did say it, yeah.
Yeah, what do you want to... You tell me what to talk about. I don't know. This
okay.
is your thing.
Well, I mean,
I don't want to talk about my show. I feel like your listeners don't like me.
I don't know, but I feel like your listeners don't like me.
No, my listeners love you.
That makes no sense, because like our podcasts are like pretty opposite.
We're opposite. But you come but, like, on and you do anything. I don't want to talk about it. We'll talk about it later. Uh-oh. We got a...
Oh, you see this?
Uh-oh. We are in a fight.
Ask him.
Wow. These crossing guards, I don't even know what... This crossing guard's going crazy on us right now.
Yeah.
They try to pull in here. I don't even know what they're there for. Like, there's lights.
Well, the only issue why is because like, it's such a complicated crosswalk over there. Like, there's like five different, curves and turns over here. You know?
I swear, I walk through this crosswalk every day, and all these women are doing, these crosswalk women, they're just staring at their iPhones. They're getting paid for that. They're not doing... Like, that's the most I've ever seen them do, and she's just yelling like a crazy person.
Oh, it happens sometimes, you know.
Like, Farouz, you hate those crosswalk people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Me too, man. They suck. I'll yell something mean at the next one. You used to drive before you're in New York.
Right? Oh, yeah, totally. Did you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. You have to in Virginia.
You have to in Florida also.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I lived, like, when I went to college, I was, like, 5-hour drive at least from home every time, like, so, and also, like, it's just such a spread-out city, you know?
Yeah.
And Virginia's all, like,
hills. There's no sidewalks where I'm from.
What part of Virginia?
Richmond.
Right. And Richmond's a really nice place, too.
In the city, in Richmond proper, the city, there's sidewalks. This is a city. That would be crazy if the building was just immediately butted up against the road. That would be dangerous at best. But
or like
in
a
like,
patch of grass.
I'm from the counties, the suburbs outside. Right. There's no such thing as a sidewalk there. You don't walk anywhere. That's crazy.
See, where I'm from, there's sidewalks, but like, people just ride their bikes on them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone even rides a bike where I'm from.
Is it, like, because I've been
We're
like...
We're all very fat.
And Richmond's got a lot of hills, right?
It's known for its hills.
Yeah.
That's very good that you know that.
Well, because I know, like, all of Virginia is, like, covered in hills.
It doesn't seem that way having been from there, but apparently, like, that's a thing it's known for, is being, like, the different neighborhoods were built on top of different hills.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, there's a church hill. That's a neighborhood.
Is it all one giant hill? Or is it, like...
I guess. I can't tell being from there. Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it was just the land.
Right. Like, for me, like, keep in mind, Florida is all flat until you get to, like, Orlando.
Oh, yeah?
Like, north of Orlando is, like, where, like...
It'd be swamp.
Well, like, I mean, I've been to the Everglades. I've been to, like...
Wrestle a gator?
No, I haven't.
You ever been up close to one?
Yeah, I have.
Have you been threatened by a gator's presence?
When I was a kid, I was a little scared.
And when I say a gator, I do mean a player from the team, the football team, the Gators.
Like, I've never been threatened. I was actually friends with a couple of them.
Oh, that none of them wanted to beat you up?
No, I mean, the ones I met were pretty nice.
Because, like, you're, like, the nerd, they're the jocks.
I'm not really that, I mean, I'm a nerd, but I'm not, like...
Well, like, I wasn't trying to paint you in a certain light.
Well, I mean, like, yeah, I mean, when I was there, I was basically in the theater school, mainly, but, like, Walter Hodge, the basketball player, who was on both
sure.
National
Walter Chair. Hodge, we all know him.
He was on both national championship teams. Sorry, what?
No, we were just kidding around.
Yeah.
So
he was on both national championship teams for the basketball team. So, like, he was in my dance class, which was pretty cool.
You had a dance class?
Yeah, of course I was in a dance class.
What do you mean, of course?
I went to theater school, dude.
They make you do a dance class?
Yeah, dude.
What kind of little dances would you do?
Little jigs? That one was actually all style, so it was like ballet, jazz, some modern.
That explains why you're so coordinated.
Sure, if you want to say so, yeah.
Could, when we get out of the car, will you do a little dance for me?
I could try a little bit, but my feet have been like kind of injured since I had a work injury.
You ever beat up a girl?
No.
Okay.
I've never beat up anyone.
Just thought I'd ask.
I've cried my way out of a fight once.
You did what?
I cried my way out of a fight once.
You cried your way out of a fight with a girl?
No, with a guy.
Oh, okay.
Actually, over here's going to be fine, I think.
Fine?
Yeah, yeah. We're pretty close to where we're going.
All right.
Thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to get this way.
Hey, and don't let those crossing guards get you down, man.
Okay? Oh, so you do know Russian.
Yeah.
In fifth grade...
I actually speak 25 languages.
I actually would not be surprised.
Most of them are computer languages, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. Beep, beep, boop, beep, bop.
Like 0, 1, 1, 1, 1, 0, 0.
No, I can't speak binary. That's the hard one for me. You'd think that would be easy because it's just the two things to remember.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you could be saying one word, but saying something completely more offensive or something like that.
Unfortunately, I've offended a lot of robots.
You've offended a lot of people.
It's kind of what I do. I don't know if I mean to. I think I got painted into that corner.
Really?
When,
because you do have a really great edge to you and your comedy. When did that start? Did I start, like, really young?
No, I was the no one would believe it. I was the nicest little boy, the nicest. I'm still a little boy at heart, but I was like such a good kid. I never cursed as a kid. I never threw tantrums. I didn't even cry a lot, you know.
Right.
I was rarely in trouble.
Only child or brothers and sisters?
I'm sort of an only. I live the life of an only child, but I have much older half brother and half sister.
Okay. Yeah, I'm an only child and never like never really had like any fights or anything like that.
My mom would say like, "Don't you want a little brother or sister?" And I would go, "No, no, I want everything for myself."
Well, I mean,
I actually regret that decision. Now I kind of wish I had like real brother and sister to. You know, sort of be a support system. I feel like people who grow up with brothers and sisters live a better life.
I think so, too, honestly. Like, I mean, I'm not saying my life has been bad or anything like that. I'm just saying that, like...
Oh, mine has. Mine's been terrible.
Okay, well, I mean, I can't speak for you.
Well, you know.
I'm not. I mean, I've only known you, like, 4 years.
Well, almost the entirety of that time has been the worst time of my life.
Okay, I know you have been through a lot of shit, yeah.
yeah, a whole lot. Are we going to talk about that?
It's up to you.
I'll talk about whatever, I don't care.
I mean, my whole thing about this show is as long as it's a good conversation.
We're in your apartment.
Yes, we are now in my apartment.
I've never been here before.
Right, yeah.
I look inside all the drawers.
That's up to you, but I would prefer not to.
Sit down, man. Would you like some water?
I'd love some water.
Ice?
No ice. Thank
you. Do we pause right now, or?
Whatever, man. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, like, with me, I like to always have these conversations to be as, like, real and honest as possible.
Let's do it.
But, yeah. So, like, I mean, do you want to talk about your podcast now? Whatever. Now that we're not, like, your freezes company, or?
I don't want to sound like I'm on here to promote it, if I'm honest.
Okay, that's fair.
Do you know what I mean? Are you recording now?
We are recording.
That's fine. You can leave that in. I don't want it to seem like that's why I'm on here. Because I think
some of my listeners would actually like your show.
Maybe.
Keep in mind, I like your show.
That's true, but you're a weirdo.
I am very weird. I will admit that.
You're different. The fact that you will come on my show means that...
I've gone on your show probably 3 times more than a lot of people ever have.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people come on and they never come on again.
And they leave like halfway through.
And they leave halfway through. Yeah. I don't know. Well, all right. But so I was a good kid, yeah. I believe I was saying. And I don't know what happened. Like, I'm not sure. To be honest... This is going to sound like, this is going to end up sounding depressing. It's going to start off sounding like,
okay,
like nerdy pretentious.
All right.
You know that scene from The Matrix Revolutions, I think it is, whichever Matrix sequel it was, where Neo, like, can now see The Matrix?
Yes.
And it's all gold, and he sees the inner workings of it. So it all is making sense to him completely now, right?
Yeah.
I would say in my life, at about 8 years old, I started seeing the code behind the world. And that's like exaggeration, but it's just to illustrate the point. There's a part of me that at a very young age realized, and I think everyone ends up realizing this, like when they grow up, but I realized it pretty early on that like adults don't fucking know what they're doing.
No, I actually did not realize that until honestly, 2 years ago, because like, I mean, technically become like an adult like when you're like 23 or 24, right?
Sure.
Like, well, in the eyes of the world,
in your people's culture at 13,
exactly, which you are not an adult,
not even close. That's a very weird thing.
And also, it was a really horrible day in my life, just because the girl I really liked, I found out really did not like me, and
aww.
And also, I wasn't able to eat during my bar mitzvah, because I had a really bad photographer who would not let me, like, who would just not let me not take photos.
Interesting.
So, like, there's one photo of me eating, like, ice cream, and that's bite of ice cream is all I had in my mouth the whole day.
But it was probably the most delicious bite of ice cream you've ever had.
No, it was just, like, shitty vanilla, like, sundae.
It was the matzo of ice creams.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean...
How's your Passover, by the way?
It's been okay. I'm more spiritually as a Jew than I'm religiously.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going with that, is... that's also like when I stopped believing in any sort of gods or anything. Was, like, at 8 years old.
Really interesting.
I remember the moment.
Yeah?
I was in a grocery store with my mother...
Okay.
We were in line at the checkout. And you know how in the checkout they have the magazine racks there,
yes,
trying to get, you know, ladies to buy silly things?
Yeah.
So I was sitting there looking at one of the magazine covers, and it was saying something about God. I don't know why or what. But I was looking at it, and that's when it hit me, and I asked my mom, "Hey, Mom, if God made everything, then who made God?" And she looked at me with this... And we weren't a very religious family to begin with. We didn't go to church or anything. We celebrated Christmas.
Like, you're like Christian light, for like that word.
I mean, light.
Yeah.
Diet Christian, Dr. Pepper. But...
I was so close to saying Dr. Pepper for the iTunes thing. which is like honestly my favorite bit from your show of all time.
Yeah, we'll explain that later, so that you're not totally lost. But I asked her that, and her eyes got real big, and she paused for a moment to like as if she hadn't ever thought of that, which seems weird. I feel like most people.
So
think
you
that.
Might have like opened her eyes. That
I'm
weird.
An 8-year-old. I'm 8. And she must have thought of that before, but I just vividly remember the look on her face being like, huh. And then she gave that pat answer that everyone gives, which is, he was just always there.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that doesn't make sense. And so that was the point where I was like, okay, there's no God. And I still believe, by the way, in Santa Claus after that. But God to me was...
That's really kind of funny.
Crazy. Like, I believed in Santa Claus to a ripe old age.
Yeah.
But God was like...
It's like 25?
No, not that long. Don't give me a little credit. No, I would say like 12.
Which I like, like the tail end of the age.
Yeah, I mean, that's the last age where it's like acceptable at all. But... Yeah, I did, and there were times where I would, like, lapse back into it, or I'd hope. Like, if I was really upset about something, I might do, like, a half-hearted prayer, like, hey, if you're out there.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. That definitely ended by high school, like, ninth grade. But that was that moment. It was in that moment that I both realized there's probably no, you know, otherworldly or spiritual beings or anything, and that adults don't know what they're doing, because that answer didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like, if my mom, who is the person that represents all knowledge and all power to me, you know, my mom and my dad, if my mom can't answer that question, which seems like a pretty important question.
It's an important question, yeah, totally.
Then who could, like, what adults out there know anything? Which is like a kiddie way of thinking about it.
Right, right.
There's a bigger, I think there's a bigger thing. I mean, that's
like
one of those
things like makes you challenge like authority and stuff like that.
Which is a big thing in my life.
Yeah, I mean, like I
said. I respect no authority.
Is there any authority you actually do respect, honestly?
No, I don't.
I mean, it's like everyone just at one level in your mind?
Yeah, everyone's the same. Which is, by the way, it's the not way bad everyone thing. Like claims they want things is that they want everyone to be equal. Yeah. But then at the same time, we're like, well, but certain people everyone's can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, the fact that we, like, put up signs that say you can't go on grass in certain places. It's like, it's grass! What do you mean I can't do that?
It's, like, really weird. Like, I've been doing a lot of, like improv producing and stuff like that recently, which is an insane task sometimes. And, like putting together a 12-hour set, I'm like... Guy, I'm like everything involved in the show. Like my name wasn't like in the title or anything like that, but like, you know, the producing, like putting, like getting the word out there, all that stuff was all on me. And like, and that's like a lot bigger than like my podcast, like just in like scope.
It's trying to work.
Yeah. For and like one scheduling man. And everything, you know, like.
Yeah.
If I ever do it again, I'm going to have more people involved. That's for sure. Like involved in the actual, like putting it together thing.
Figuring it out.
Yeah. But that's. I don't know, I mean, like, because, like, I respect the fact that you're able to do what you do in the way that you do it, and smartly.
Yeah.
I think it's smartly.
Yeah. Don't respect, I don't have respect for any man, Mark.
Why?
Stop having respect
Why?
For me. I don't know. What do I know? Like, what am I doing?
What do I'm I know? Not, I don't know
Nobody anything. Knows what I'm doing or what I'm up to. like, I'm not successful at anything, but, which is another reason, like, I don't know. It's that thing that I don't know how to put into words other than, like, equating it to that moment in a stupid Matrix movie, like the worst Matrix movie I'm equating my life to. You know that scene where he fights a bunch of Asian Smiths? That's my life.
That was actually a pretty cool scene, though.
Yeah, that was a good scene. This is from the other shitty movie.
Yeah. You know that scene where he talks to the architect?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the architect. No, I don't mean that. But there's this thing where, like, I just walk through life. And I look at everything, and I feel like I see the next layer, the underlying sort of, the motives behind people.
So it's kind of like, sort of like if you walk around with the sunglasses on and they live.
Yes, yeah. Like, that's an even more obscure reference to make for people.
Not too much, but a little bit more.
If you, imagine Obey signs everywhere.
That's like, that's why it's not so obscure, because Obey is everywhere.
Well, you know what's funny? Is, so, the Shepherd Fairey is an artist who does graffiti, and he's famous for making...
the Barack Obama and the Andre the Giant Obey.
Yeah, he's very famous for making the Barack Obama Hope graffiti, the stencil. And then, Andre the Giant has a posse is his thing, which... because Andre the Giant is a copywritten thing, he had to shorten to just Obey.
Right.
And he lifted that from the movie
They Live.
They Live. Now, kids all the time, this is very funny to me, kid, and just me, I'm not expecting your listeners to enjoy this, kids all the time are wearing clothing from the clothing line Obey.
Right.
So all of their clothes just say the word Obey on it. It says it in a similar font to the movie They Live.
Yeah.
And the whole point of They Live was that everyone was, like, mind-controlled, like,
by
under...
alien race.
Yeah, and they're, like, mindlessly following the rules. Like, that was the point.
Yeah.
And so we've got a bunch of kids out there who are mindlessly purchasing shirts
yeah.
that say on it that they are doing it mindlessly. Like, they saw other people wear these shirts, and so that's why they bought them. Like, the shirt is telling you, then they don't even understand the, like, I know the, like, these 20-year-old kids wearing Obey t-shirts and hats.
Would get the reference and, like.
No, they have no idea that, what they
look like. But I mean, like, okay, how about someone like our age? Or, like,
I don't think they even know it's from the Andre the Giant thing. I think they saw another kid wear it. And, like, that's the sort of thing that blows my mind every day when I walk outside, is there are people who, like, look at another person and go, I would like to also be that. I would also wear that because I saw a person wear it. Like the most popular haircut right now is Macklemore's haircut for
men.
Yeah. Which
a
is,
year later after.
Which is, again, it's hilarious to me because I look at, you know, a guy with that haircut and I go, you looked at a man and you decided I would like his hair, please. What a weird fit. Like, that's so crazy. So it's like my mission in life whenever I see anyone with that haircut to say to them, oh, hey, cool Macklemore. Because they know that most people have a certain level of either fear or respect, I'm not sure which it is, that will keep them from pointing out that this person is copying another human being
on
the planet. Which is, again, I just think that's bizarre. I think it's bizarre to copy another person. In that way, like in a fashion sense, a haircut sense.
Yeah.
And so most people would never ever call them out on it. Their best friend, their girlfriend, whoever it is, would never call that guy out and say, you saw the white rapper Macklemore, one of the lamest rappers of all time, and you thought, I need this too. No one was ever going to say that to them. They were confident in it. And then they go walking down the street one day, and this weird long hair stranger comes up and says, oh, hey, cool, Macklemore. And I see it in their eyes. I see that moment where their worldview is shattered, where they're like, oh, shit, I've been found out.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening. Every guy with that shaved hair, sides haircut, and the little weird pompadour mohawk, all of them saw Macklemore, again, one of the worst rappers of all time.
There's a lot worse than them, honestly.
And they've
been famous. There's a lot worse.
Vanilla Ice or whatever. But, like, Macklemore is terrible. Like, he's bad. He's not good at what he does. He also preys on people's, like, both intelligence and their hearts. Like, that Same Love song.
Same Love is the one song because I actually really don't like. Like, because, like, Thrift Shop and, like, and,
Thrift Shop's fun.
The other one, Club Can't Hold Us is a fun song. But Same Love is kind of condescending as a straight white man.
Same Love.
Like, that opening verse.
He says, he basically says that being, like, hey, I'm not gay. Like, he has to.
But I like being dressed nice and stuff.
Yeah, one, he's, like, playing on stereotypes of gay people, and then two, he is making sure you don't confuse these gays. Now, if there's nothing wrong with being gay, Macklemore,
I don't think
there is, but if Macklemore pretends to not think there is, but if there's nothing wrong with being gay, Macklemore, why within three lines of that song do you have to make sure we know you're not? Yo, when I was in the third grade, I thought I was gay. And then he immediately undoes that by saying exactly why he is not gay. He's like, no,
because his
no,
mom Macklemore, told him he's not gay.
You've loved girls since you were...
like, born or whatever.
Born.
Yeah.
Like, no, Macklemore, you fucked pussies from the beginning. You fucking smashed them twats.
I will admit, though, that Mrs. Macklemore...
Mrs. Macklemore, who, by the way, has the same hair.
Yeah.
Macklemore grew up going, I need that hair.
But, like, it's interesting because, like, the song has, like, the chorus is awesome. Everything else about the song is not.
I guess. I don't know. I don't. I just. I hate him. And I.
That's fair.
I don't like that he. Like.
I'm not defending him.
Who in their right mind would walk out and go. And make a song like, no, gay people are awful right now. No one's going to do that. So to make a song where you're like, I'm for gay people. Like. So, that, like, what a bold stance, Macklemore.
Yeah.
You're so brave. Like, that's like if I went out and said, I don't think people should be homeless. Not that I'm homeless, but... And also, here's some homeless things that homeless people do. They drink, and they're dumb. Like, that's what that song is, but for gay people.
I actually do fully agree with you on that. Because, like, honestly, like, I do own that. I do own the Macklemore album. I listen to Thrift Shop sometimes because I do like it.
That's a good. It's got a good hook, and it's a different guy doing it. Like that song is fun because a guy with a cool voice does the hook, and it's like a. It is a catchy hook. He, by the way, this is interesting. Stole that song from a gay black artist.
Wow.
There's an artist. I believe his name is Leif. It's L-E-I-F.
Okay.
And he's got a song called What? W-U-T. And if you listen to them back to back, you'll go, oh, this is a ripoff.
Okay.
What is a song before Thrift Shop? It came out before Thrift Shop. And it, they start the same way. What? Yeah. What? Except one of them was named What. That makes sense.
The one that was called Thrift Shop.
And, yeah. So he stole that from a gay artist. And then he profited off of the backs of gay people, and then hipsters look at him and go, I need his hair.
All right, so we talked enough about Macklemore today, right?
That's probably enough.
I mean, yeah. We're like halfway through the episode.
I'm just hoping one of your listeners has his haircut, and right now they're going, oh god, he's talking about me. So to that guy, and you probably know who he is, what's his name?
I actually don't know.
All right, to you, sir, I say, hey, cool Macklemore.
I mean, I still have a lot of listeners in Wichita. I still have a lot of listeners in London, like, London area, so...
Well, they're all doing it. This is a popular haircut all over the world now.
I know.
That's the internet age for you, Mark. This internet, huh?
I mean, you have listeners from all over the world, too.
Azerbaijan.
That's cool.
That's a place.
Yeah.
I think I have a listener there. One. There's the
Hell,
one.
Hell, I even kind of met one of your listeners on your show.
Josh. Is that right? Josh?
Right.
I can't remember. Don't ask me to remember anything.
Like from, like, Middle America.
Yeah, that sounds right. Josh Stewart, maybe.
I don't know. I think, I don't know, but...
I don't know.
I mean, you have a great fan base.
Yeah, they're weirdos, like, alright, so we'll talk about it.
Well, can I first talk about something, because, like, you've affected the show a lot in a way that a lot of people do not know.
Oh, I don't know, let's hear it.
Well, no, because when I was, like, I wanted to do a podcast, you told me, like, what to do and what I shouldn't do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, bandwidth-wise, stuff like that.
Yeah. That's something, by the way, that I refuse to do now.
Really?
You might have been the last person I gave any gave how a, to do a podcast.
Like, you gave me a lot of really helpful stuff.
Alright, what people don't need to know is I've been doing Pod Awful since 1 week before Mark Maron started his podcast.
You're about to start season 9, right?
I'm about to start season 9.
That starts Sunday, right?
It starts this Sunday.
Which this airs on Monday, so...
So, yeah, if you're listening to this, you can go and check out the new season of Pod Awful.
Or all the episodes. They're all on iTunes.
They're all on iTunes, all at podawful.com. Yeah. I started like a week before podcast blew up. Just happened to. I'm not saying like I'm some sort of originator or anything. I just mean, when I started my podcast, all of your friends didn't also have a podcast.
Yeah.
That's all I mean by that.
I mean, I feel like I've been around forever. I've been around for 2.5 years, and like that's like now all my friends have podcasts.
Yeah, I've been doing it for 5.5 years and have very little to show for it. But that said, people have been asking me for a long time, like, well, how do you do that? Just because I had been doing it for a year
and you have like the best equipment too.
I put a lot of effort into the equipment, into the setup, because I also do it with video.
Yeah,
I do a live video stream,
and my show is as simple as it gets.
It's as simple as it gets. But that's why I wanted to take that Uber ride, was because, oh, this is cool. Like, we could just record anywhere.
When I told Jesse, a long time ago, Jesse was like, I would do your podcast. I was going to turn it up on an awful episode. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I wanted to make sure this was as far from a pod awful episode as possible.
But like, I was like, you know what this is? I'm very mobile. I can record wherever. And you suggested the quiet area by the World Trade Center, which I was like, that's
yeah,
not,
I was going to surprise Mark and take him on an Uber ride to the 9/11 Memorial.
Which would not have flown well.
That would not have gone well with you?
That wouldn't have gone very
well. You have a little bit of a panic and anxiety sort of thing about that.
Yes, I do.
I had a panic attack today at work.
Oh, yeah? Oh, God, it's terrible.
I don't know what happened. I just very suddenly was very sad, and like I kind of lost my mind for a little bit.
Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry about that, dude.
I don't know. I think when I moved to New York, I became a crazy person.
That could happen.
I think so. I think it's an isolating city. Like for the most populated city, you know, in America, it's like you feel more alone here. I feel than anywhere else.
I don't think I've ever shared this with anyone really before, because this is a really fucked up thing that I saw on the subway right when I first went to New York. A woman walks on in Astoria, where I used to live. We're like 30th Avenue or whatever in Astoria. She has a stroller. She's on the phone. Her eyes are like crying.
Wow.
And she's like, he won't breathe. He won't breathe. I'm taking him to the pediatrician right now.
Oh my God.
Don't
do it that way. Just have an ambulance come.
I did not know what to do. Christ. And then she got to the next stop, but I was like,
that's terrible.
That's a thing that happens in New York.
Yeah. Yeah, and by the way,
that happens everywhere.
That's only in New York, as they say. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that happens everywhere, but, like, you won't experience that, like, the way I did.
Yeah, you won't run into it. I don't know. I feel like several factors, and a lot of them to do with moving to this city, led to what has really become a psychosis that I suffer from.
I really hate to almost understand that, because I know you pretty well. I mean, you've been pretty open with me a lot, and I've been open with you a lot, so. Yeah.
I've never gone to a doctor about any of this, which is, by the way, problem number one. Go to a doctor if you feel this way. But I never did, and I still haven't, and I always mean to, but honestly, part of the problem is that the crippling anxiety of trying to do something like that. I definitely suffer from a massive case of depression, of like a clinical depression, not an I'm sad depression. And it has gotten much worse in the past 3 years. I've lived in New York for like 5.5 years.
I feel we moved around like the same time.
Yeah.
When did you move?
I moved here to do UCB classes. Right. Which probably your listeners should know. Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. We met not at UCB, but at, I believe, both our first job in New York.
No, it was my second job.
Technically, it was my second, too, but it really was my first, because I was fired my first one immediately.
It's weird that we did not meet through UCB.
We met in Times Square.
At
Madame Tussauds. We can say that. Have we ever said that on any of, like, the 9 hours of us being a podcast together?
Us doing Pod Awful? I don't know that we've ever brought
maybe
it up.
Once. I was like Mad Tussauds.
In passing, at best.
But we both were at Mad Tussauds. Not in the same section. You were like the worst part of Mad Tussauds. Yeah. And I was like arguably the best, but
you were easily at the best.
But not.
Mark was living it big working in a wax museum, and I was lowest rung there. And
you weren't lowest rung.
We rarely spoke, but it was more just because.
We connected in a weird way.
Well, I would say our positions there kind of kept us apart, like physically.
Like, he would be the one outside, getting people to come inside, being in the elevator, tearing tickets, operating the 4D movie, and I would just be in the haunted house, getting kicked in the balls.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. That's what our job descriptions basically were.
Yes. Yeah, your job was to get kicked in the balls. My job was to feel like I'm being kicked in the balls by the crushing weight of
being in a glass elevator.
Being in a glass elevator filled with people who do not speak any English trying to tell them where the bathrooms are.
Nor do they know how to shower.
Wow, that's a step. That's you and a bridge too far with
okay,
that.
I apologize.
I'm a big supporter of the Indian people, and I want to say I regret Mark's decision to say that. That
sorry.
Had nothing to do with me, and I
sorry,
wasn't
Native
holding
Americans.
Up a cue card.
And
I'm not talking about Native American. That is also a very, that's a bridge too far.
Yep,
they're not Indians.
I will be quiet now because I feel very horrible about myself.
You just made this Pod Awful.
Hey guys, welcome to Pod Awful with Mark. What would your listeners do if I ended up hosting an episode of Pod Awful?
Probably turning it off. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Like the same intro and everything.
I've had guests do like an episode of my show for me when I wasn't going to do one.
Yeah.
I fake ended the show and then had two of my regular guests do their own version of the show.
Was that like the guy who was also like up for the fake co-host permanent job?
No. Yeah, I've had a lot of fake co-hosts. I've torn a lot of hearts out. But let's talk about the Mountain Dew Sos
thing. Right.
So we met there, and again, I don't think we spoke often just because of our position.
And plus, you really weren't there that long, right? You were there like 6 months?
Yeah, so, a little longer, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it might have been six. Yeah, I kind of got the boot in like a really shitty way. They lied to me. Like, I joined working there under the premise that I was like a regular employee. Like, this was just my part-time job.
Right, right.
But after 6 months, they claimed that I was hired as a seasonal employee, which was not the case. I could go back through the emails that prove that that's not the case.
Oh, God.
At no point was that brought up. And they just used that to kind of get rid of me.
See, I got hired during the season, but I was hired as part-time.
Yeah.
That's terrible, man. That sucks.
Yeah. It sucked. Because I mean, it wasn't the worst job. It paid pretty well.
It was pretty decent money.
Yeah. It was decent. I mean, you have to be in Times Square, which sucks.
But, I mean, you're, like, kind of secluded in Times Square because, like, people have to pay you in. So, for me.
you have to pay to get in. However, the entire world is paying to get in.
Yeah.
It's giant groups of people from everywhere. It's huge groups
everywhere.
Of Indians, Chinese, Brazilians, Germans. I mean, everybody.
Like, every summer, like, every day, 10,000 people.
And, yeah, you learn a lot working there about other cultures, weirdly.
And tolerance.
And tolerance.
I'm not gonna lie, I walked out of that job a little bit. What?
I said apparently Mark did not learn
it. I'm not gonna lie, it took me a little while like to heal after that job in that regard. I hate saying that, but
yeah, I think it's an open sore.
Yeah.
Speaking of open sores, he's Chinese. No, I'm just kidding. No.
So you moved to New York to do UCB.
Yeah, I moved here to do UCB. So, like,
because you were like further in UCB than I was.
Most of your guests are UCB people.
Yes,
and I have not considered that in any way. But I moved here to do that, and yeah, I think I had already. I might have even already completed the program by the time
we. I think you were like in 401. I was like in 201 or something.
401 or had just finished it. I did three 401s just for fun. I had not gone to advanced yet, I know that much. But, so for all of those of you UCB heads, what is the name of, like...
UCBers?
UCBers, I guess. It's weird that you need that phrase when it is a brigade. You could just call it that.
Brigadiers?
Brigadiers, yeah, you UC Brigadiers. what's up, what the fuck, Knicks? Anyway... For all of you guys that don't know me, and that's most of you, I would assume, I moved here in 2009. So it was August 2009.
Right, I moved here in June 2009, so.
My first class was in August, but I hadn't found an apartment yet. So I was actually taking classes without a place to live.
That's insane.
For like a couple weeks. I should do this, right? My 101 was Chelsea. Yeah.
Chelsea Clark. I'm taking your class tomorrow.
Great 101.
One of the best teachers out there, I still say.
My 201, Neil Casey.
Really great teacher. Never had before. But.
Love Neil. One of my favorite teachers. Not my favorite class, but I liked him. I think I liked him the best as a teacher. It's Neil, so that's fun. 301 was Betsy Stover.
Great, great person.
This tells you how long ago all this was. Like, all these people are in Los Angeles now.
So I know who your 401 is, too. Who
401 is...
Mike Still, right?
Well, 401... So I did three of them. Right. My first 401... By the way, my 301 with Betsy was my favorite class.
Betsy is an amazing
great teacher. I don't think she likes me. Which, we'll get into more of that in this next one.
All right.
My 401 was Shannon O'Neill.
She was my first 401, too.
And Shannon hated me.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Did not like me. And might still not like me. I'm not really sure where we left off with that.
Well, you've taken classes more recently, know that.
I did. I finally took an advanced class at the end of last year. I think, technically, it had been so long since I'd taken a class, I wasn't actually supposed to, but they just let me do it anyway. I guess it was Anthony Adamnik. But yeah, I had Shannon, I had Mike Still, and I had Kevin Hines.
Two of those teachers I had from 401.
Yeah. And so the whole system of whether you can pass 401, but you don't get placed into advanced. So I was not placed into the advanced level during Shannon's 401.
Same here.
But I took Mike Still's class because he was already my coach for my indie group. And so we were, like, friendly, we were friends, and I knew I would get through. I just took it because it was easy.
He's also an amazing guy.
He's a great teacher, but I was also already learning a lot from him outside of that class. But I took that one because I was like, I need to get put through to advance. I knew he would do it, and then he did. And then I took another 401 just because a friend was taking it, and I just thought I'd hang out with her, and that was the Kevin Hines class.
Cool.
So, yeah, I moved here to do all that stuff. I've been doing improv since I was 13 years old. I've been doing it since 2001.
Wow.
Which puts me at doing it longer than several of my teachers.
I'd say most of them, Ash.
A lot of people. All right, I've been doing it about 10 years longer than everyone on a Herald team. in some form or another, I've been doing improv.
I'd say that's almost true.
Yeah, like, almost everybody.
You're making me feel really bad because I've been doing improv at UCB for 5 years, and, like, a lot of people...
That's not a bad thing. And here's why I never went any further at UCB, or part of it, on my end of things, is because when you come here, what you did outside of UCB, or outside of New York at the very least, is inconsequential to people.
Uh-huh.
All of that skill, all of what I learned, meant nothing when I got here, which I didn't realize is what would happen. I even almost applied to just skip 101, because there was really no reason for me to take a 101. I got the basics of improv down after 10 years. I'm 28 now, by the way, if anyone wants to figure out that math. I figured, I'll just do it anyway, just because I wanted to, integrate myself into the culture of UCB in New York.
Right.
And yeah, after a while, when you realize it doesn't matter, what you've done before this or where your skill level is at. And that's not trying to be cocky. It's just, I've been doing it a long time. It kind of gets hard to do it. It kind of gets hard to keep going. So I did kind of bow out from trying any harder at improv, and it actually, again, I was doing it for a long time before I got here, and then I totally stopped doing improv for the first time in all that time. So it kind of drove me away from doing any improv stuff in the end. I only took that advanced class last year because I wanted to finally say I did it, because I what was the point of getting put through if I wasn't going to take advantage of it? And the prices had gone up quite a bit since
then. Yeah, they were like $350.
It used to be $350.
Yeah.
When I took all of my main classes, it was still at $350.
It was like $300 when I started.
There was no Beast when I was still taking the Beast, classes.
The first show that I ever did, I remember that for my Shannon 401 class, we were supposed to have our first show at the Beast, so it ended up being a theater on 14th Street.
Yeah.
That was like a white box.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And then on top of that, I'm pretty sure that the current artistic director hates
me. Right, that would make sense, yeah. that would definitely make sense if that...
What's weird is, your listeners must know about the Chris Gethard show just because of you talking about
it. I've had most of the cast on it.
You being, there for all the shows and everything. So before the Chris Gethard show was the public access show, when they were doing their
at the theater
America Gethard though.
Right. I remember you telling me about this.
They did America Gethard, and they drove all across the country and stopped in certain places and did improv shows and stuff. And they were going to stop in Richmond, Virginia, where I'm from, and do a show there, and I went back home during that time because they were doing it with my friends, the people I grew up doing that improv with for that 10 years.
Yeah.
And so I went back and I did the show there, and they ended up staying the night at in my childhood home. Chris Gethard slept in my parents' bed.
So your parents invited them over, or
just they said it would be fine if they came. Will Hines slept in my childhood bed. By the way, Will Hines wears head-to-toe pajamas, matching pajamas, including a hat.
Wait, if anyone wants to know, they shared a bed, or you had two childhood
beds? I slept on a couch.
No, they shared a bed together, or?
Will and Chris?
Yeah.
No, Will was on my bed, Chris was on my parents'
bed. Oh, I'm sorry, I misheard you first. Yeah.
Everybody stayed over. So, by the way, they cheated. They weren't in the RV the whole time. And that was pretty early on in the tour, so you don't see much of it in their video.
Right,
stuff.
You just see like the actual spots.
Well, and they also they can't be one day into it and be like, "Hey, we're chilling out in this nice house and getting fed nice breakfast." I actually in my living room had the premiere of Vacation Jason. Like
that's cool.
That's
pretty cool.
That was where it started, and we have video of it, and it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Like we were dying laughing at it. And it was in that moment where, when we were all having breakfast together, when I think Shannon softened back up to me, we were kind of talking about the class. It had been like a year or so in between. And
what'd you say?
There's a whole backstory. There's a whole backstory where there's like a fight between me and Chris Gethard. And, it's a lot to get into.
That's fine.
But we resolved it that night at that improv show. And because I kind of called him out on it, which is like
that's something you like to do.
Well, that's what I like to do, and I feel like that's something Chris would do.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we're in that cut from the same cloth with that. And so we talked about it after the show, and it was funny. But like, just everyone knew about it. There was beef between me and Chris, and Shannon being Chris's best friend.
Yeah,
it started to make a little bit more sense when I thought back to why would Shannon hate me during class, because I'm always a respectful student. I take notes. I don't argue a note. I always just say yes. I try to be a good student when I'm in a class as best I can. And I thought I was, but she just had this venom for me. And I think it was my belief. I've never like publicly announced this.
Okay.
My belief is that she didn't like me because of this thing that was going on between me and Chris. It's like this tiny thing. It's insignificant.
Right, right.
But he took something I said the wrong way, and he was pretty mad. So we squashed that beef then. So I don't know if she still doesn't like me, but I know that my style of humor is not the UCB style.
It's a darker humor. It's
darker. And certain people get away with it there. Like my teacher for the advanced class was Anthony Attamini. Who's pretty dark. And I feel like he's one of those guys that gets away with it. And I don't know what it is where some people can do it and some people can't.
I think tell you the difference between like the way his humor, dark humor is and yours. I feel like it's kind of like a mask for him, you know?
What do you mean by
like,
that? I don't know.
The mask is more visible. Like, where he's like, I'm playing...
You think it's a face he puts on?
Yes.
And that he's really a super sweet guy underneath.
Well, he's a nice guy.
I feel I feel like I'm
nowhere... I know you're a decent dude.
I feel like I put on a mask and I don't even mean to do it, but I do it. And I
your
feel
chest
like...
was improvised, it's like really good at being like an asshole. And like... it's... Like, there's so much stuff like that, like, has happened on your show that happens because I know... Well, first of all, I know because... Sorry, I feel like I'm, sorry, I'm going a little too intense here or anything like that. Because, I know that you're not really a bad guy.
I'd like to believe I'm not. I would say
but, like, you're one of those people that, like, is so good at yes-anding that, like, you just, like, find yourself in these, like, horrible, horrible situations.
You know what it is for... Before I moved here, for a long time, I found that whenever I made any little joke... You know, that might even be a little off
beaten
path. People would take it the wrong way. And even just things where I wasn't making a joke, where I was just saying something, and they just, I just don't think.
Well, because you don't have a filter, also.
I have a filter. Yeah, fucking worse than I am. I have a filter, and I certainly had one, a bigger one then. You know, it's like, it's like these, like, villains in, like, comic books, like, they don't think they're the bad guy. But then everyone treats them like they're the bad guy, and Superman comes and beats them up. So eventually they're just going to start wearing crazy outfits and going, okay, I'm here to take over the world. So, like, at one point, like, I adopted it. I adopted the thing other people see. I never saw that in me.
Right.
Like, 3 years ago, I didn't see that in me. But at one point, I was like, accept it. Like, just take it and work with it. And it definitely didn't help as a human being, but I think it makes the comedy funnier. So I think, like, the people who are into that, and it's a small number of people, I get it. Like, it'll never be a successful number of people. But the people who are into it, they get it even more than if I was, like, weirdly straddling that line where I don't mean to offend anybody.
Right, right.
But I am offending people. And I do, on top of that, have, like, some extreme views.
Yeah.
Probably. I guess everyone has some, but I guess I have certain views where I've been told my entire life that I need to always be right. That's what my mom always says it, any girlfriend I had would always say it, all of my friends. It's, you always have to be right. And in my mind, it's not that I have to be. It's, I want... Who doesn't want to be right? I don't... Like, I've never understood that criticism.
Sense. That makes sense. Like, yeah.
And so, it's not... I'm not... And I always say, I'm not always right. I only speak when I'm pretty sure I am. And if you are saying something that's blatantly wrong, then I will try to, as vocally as possible, make sure that other people know that's not right. Like, I don't like other people to be misinformed. And it turns out, whether you know this about yourself or not, anyone listening, you prefer being misinformed. Like, people like false things.
I understand that, yeah.
And that's where that divide comes, is other people think I'm either trying to be right or trying to be nasty. And, like, unfortunately, a lot of reality is just harsh. Like, harsh truths is a phrase for a reason.
Right.
And so, I don't know. I've weirdly molded myself into this person that even 8-year-old Jesse, who had that weird supermarket awakening, wouldn't have ever thought he would be. Like, I could have never seen myself being as shitty a person as I am. Like, I'm a, like, shitty person. And I mean that in every respect.
I feel like people should be able to judge you in the way that regard. If they want to judge you, see if Jesse be shitty, I guess. Or listen to Jesse be shitty. Like, seriously, Pod Awful's a great show. I think some of my listeners would like it. I know my parents aren't fans, which, that's okay.
Well, that's just because when Mark comes on the show, alright, so
the first episode wasn't so good. The second one was a little bit rough for me.
When Mark comes on the show, what you need to know is
I'm very much myself.
Mark's role on the show is for me to just beat him up, which doesn't make sense because I like Mark, and I honestly think he's probably the nicest guy who has ever come on the show. But here's what I know about my listeners is if I just let you sit there and be the nice guy the whole time, they'll be thirsty for blood. The people who, like, watch...
Wait, here's a weird question. Okay. Because out of the four episodes I did, the first one was, a little bit rough. The second was...
The first one
was when you got paid $5 for the Mammy voice.
Oh, yeah, yes.
The second one was Coin of Destiny, which was
I made
pretty bad.
Mark play this game called Coin of Destiny. And
The first one was that one.
Well, all of them have been you. But the premise of
Coin... Actually, not every episode, because you've done it at least one other time with someone else and they walked out of the show.
That's right. The premise of Coin of Destiny is I flip a coin. Heads, you do something terrible that you don't want to do. Tails, you do something else terrible that you don't want to do. And Mark is, like, the greatest improviser, gift giver ever in that he fucking does them. And, like, in one episode, I made you do both sides of the coin, which totally eliminates the need for coin of Destiny.
I think that's the episode where you made me listen to a person get murdered.
Yeah, I made you listen to children get murdered.
By a crazy
also,
man.
You had to renounce your faith.
That was brilliant. That was not really...
And unbeknownst to you, I projected onto a green screen.
I saw what happened.
You didn't know during the time, while it was happening.
Right, yeah. Of, like...
Hitler giving a speech while you renounced Judaism. Jesus.
What was really funny though was like the fourth episode I did was the worst you made me say was like uncomfortable words I actually won't say on the show.
Sure.
Because there's no need to. But if you...
Yeah, I made Mark hold up a sign of like slurs that were supposed to be slurs against yourself, but
like, honestly,
meaningless.
But, like, yeah, I mean, like, one of them was Shrek, I think.
Yeah, like...
But, as, like, honestly...
As if
like,
people call you Shrek
but, like,
as a bad
okay,
name.
Here's a weird question. How's the response to, like, the fourth episode versus, like, the first, like, three episodes?
People like it. And that was, like, the lightest episode, probably.
That's probably the lightest episode of your podcast ever.
But it had the best concept of them. Because we submitted this picture to this website, where,
yeah.
Like the whole sorry about that. The whole idea of the episode was
this guy who got offended because, well, honestly, yeah. For a fair reason, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
This guy got offended because. Well, yeah. I mean, of course he's offended, but this guy was harassed at his job,
which is horrible,
by his manager who made him wear a name tag that said "Gaytard" on it, which that's not even a phrase, "Gaytard."
Yeah,
but. He's a gay kid, and, like, he was forced to wear this by his manager at, like, a Taco John's, which, for those of you who don't know what that
which
is...
Which I never heard of before.
It's like a Taco Bell. It's the same thing as Taco Bell. So, in your mind, just say Taco Bell. So he was forced to wear this on the job. So he made the ACLU made this website for him where people could submit their own, like, they hold
horrible
up signs, and,
yeah.
And it's whatever word they're called. So if it's, like, a fat person, it might say, like, fatty or something,
yeah.
You know, so, but even worse than
and
that.
All you let me know was, like, before going on, is like, you had, like, a photo of you holding up a something that I could tell what it was, because it was censored.
Yeah, I censored out the one that I submitted, and then I also made you do one. And the one that I submitted was the N-word.
Yeah.
And I, by the way, I say N-word out of respect for Mark. I have no problem saying that word. We all know what word we're
right.
saying right now. It's all in our brains. So
there.
Yeah. Now you're also a criminal. But
and the one that the other sign I had was like beyond fake. Like it was.
Yeah, it was. So
I was trying to look sad, but I
was
laughing
because
it was just really stupid.
But that was like the best premise of the episodes, I think. So people still liked it. But yeah, you come on, and I don't know why I do these things to you, but you do them. You called a friend of yours and told her, and this is like a very
I don't think my parents would know about this.
This is a friend
this was, I think, after my parents
who would believe anything you said. You guys
are my best friends in the world.
Best friends.
Yeah.
And I am a fucking monster. I made you say to her that you had contracted, what was it, Hep C?
I think it was, like, really bad.
From sharing needles.
Yeah.
Both of those things I can't ever imagine Mark Levy doing. I can't imagine contracting a sexual
disease. We literally, once
disease.
The episode ended, I called my best friend, and Jesse was chiming in, too, because...
Yeah.
I was like, boy.
It was so bad, and did she cry?
She got very serious.
Sad. It was very bad. It was the point where I even felt bad. About it, but hey, man, coin of destiny. I mean, that's...
when I hear the phrase "coin of destiny," my speaker tightens up a little bit. Honestly, no, but like in all honesty, though, because like, I like your show, like I think it's funny, and like that's the reason why. If I felt like I was actually in any danger, I would never do the show.
Of course, and I would never do anything.
Right? Because I mean, you have been
the only person in danger on my show is me. I endanger myself all the time. I've been arrested while live streaming the show. I was investigated by the Secret Service.
These are all episodes I can watch and listen.
My girlfriend broke up with me on the show.
Yep. And then you guys had like a repair episode that like you broke up again, right?
Probably. I can't even.
I listened to that episode
so
like, where like, you guys like where you where.
I've lost friends on the show. I've had to kick friends off of the show, and they're no longer allowed to come on.
My favorite episode of all time, though. We can't say the person's name, though. First of all, I don't remember it, but during the whole fake co-host.
Yeah, I had a month-long thing where I was...
And I was fully in the bit, and you actually, like, even, like, let your listeners know, like, in a really mean way that, like, I even knew about the bit. I was just...
Yeah. Facetiously, I was auditioning permanent co-hosts for my show, which is something I would never do. You're talking about the Guinness World Record holder,
yeah.
Right? So I brought on...
That was the most uncomfortable hour of TV I've ever watched.
I brought on the actual Guinness World Record holder for fastest talking woman in the world. We can say her name. I don't give a shit. Her name's Fran Capo.
No, I didn't remember her name.
Oh, it's okay. So I didn't know if you thought we weren't allowed to, because I'm not allowed to say her name on my show. This is your show.
She's actually a listener. That'd be weird.
Yeah, there's no way. Her name is Fran Capo, C-A-P-O. You can look her up. She weirdly arrived like an hour early. I was still in my underwear. She brought her son, and all for what was inevitably a prank on her. And here's why I did it. One, it was part of this whole... the whole thing was a prank, trying to audition these co-hosts. But two...
How many of them... just out of question, how many of them, knew that it was, did not know it was a prank?
No one knew it was a prank.
I knew it was a bit. Just the white guy in
The white guy on that episode. So there was also an episode where I brought on a guy that I found on Craigslist. And
he was working hard for it,
and he was working real hard to be on it. It's inconsequential that he's black, but I'm going to say he's black to distinguish him from the other guy on the show.
Who
was white and was a regular on my show.
Who I actually ever saw before.
White guy was in on it. Black guy from Craigslist was not. But anyway, this Fran Capo woman, her agent or her manager or whoever
contacted
me for her to be on the show. And whenever that happens every once in a while to me, I get these messages. I get messages from all sorts of people. Like, I get messages from people who work at Earwolf about using my studio, like all sorts of weird stuff. I don't know how it happens. I guess I'm a top result when you type in NYC comedy podcast or something like that. But I get these messages every once in a while, and her manager messaged me about her coming to the show, and I know what that means is they've never listened to the show. Because if they've ever listened to my show, they would never request to be on it. Because she's actually serious about being a human being, which you can't
Thanks.
Be. You can't be if you're going to
Great job, though, for never actually requested to be on the show.
Here's what I do. I always give... I make sure it's fair game. I always give them fair warning. And I told her manager, you're going to want to either you yourself check out my show or have her check out my show before she comes on. It's not what you think it is. I always tell them this, and they never do. So if you're not going to do your due diligence, look, I do a prank show. My show is full of pranks. It's like half of what my show is.
It really is.
So if you walk on not knowing that you might be pranked, that's on you, man. I'm sorry about that, but that's your thing. So... we set it up that we were going to have her make a prank call. She thought she was in on the prank. She's going to make a prank call, and we were going to set it up so that we accidentally dialed 911, and she's going to talk to 911, and then she's in trouble.
And it was actually a friend of yours,
Yeah, it was actually a friend of mine. A lot of listeners still don't even know that this was all set up. They somehow didn't figure this out. But, yeah, so...
Did she even say it in the episode, like, after she left?
No, I never... At no point did I say it in the episode.
Like, after she left, I thought.
No, I made it seem like it was all real. But anyone who watches the show more than once should understand that there's no way that was real. And also, the friend who was playing the 911 operator...
was really good.
One, he was excellent at it, but two, anyone who listens to the show should recognize his voice. He's like a regular.
Right.
So, anyway, they bought it. She bought it, and she and her son left mid-show, furious, sent me cease and desists from their lawyers, I can't put this episode out, and of course I still put it out. You agreed to come on the show, you just didn't, you're just mad because you got, like, that has nothing to do with me, there's no law, and so I still put it out, because cease and desist are bullshit. Like, for people who don't realize this, you can send a cease and desist to anyone for any reason. There's no law that means you have to actually cease and desist.
I mean, Jesse can literally send me a cease and desist, like, tomorrow. This
episode, you still can't do this. Yeah. The whole idea of a cease and desist is to scare you so that they don't have to take it to court. But it doesn't get legal until they take you to court over it, and I knew they weren't going to, because it would be thrown out immediately. Like, again, I've been to court over this show. That wasn't my first time, you know. I've been to that rodeo.
Well, as I've said a couple times this episode, Jesse's show is the exact opposite of mine, but still a comedy show. Granted, I like to call my comedy show necessarily. I call it more performance art. Like, performing arts.
Yeah, yeah. You have a lot of comedy people on.
Yeah.
I have a lot of the same pool of people on.
Right, a couple of the same guests, Andy Beckerman, Marshall Stratton. Who was
kicked off the show and is not allowed to
Right, he told me that because I think he recently just, like, I think he got kicked off the show. Like,
he voted off the show by the listeners because they thought he was terrible.
He was great at my show.
I love Andy. I consider him a friendly.
Yeah.
I don't have any friends.
I'm trying to think who else. I know Mark Dowling did her show a long time ago.
And he will never do
it. Yeah, I know. He told me that.
Because that was the episode where I got arrested.
Oh, wow. I know he was. I got to listen to that one then. Sashir was in it.
Sashir was on.
Sashir's amazing.
She was on with
The rest of
Doppelganger.
And you got reposted on iTunes.
Yeah, I lied and said I had a new interview.
What did you take it off and put it back on?
No, I just left. I just didn't do anything. I just said, hey, I got an interview with the newest SNL cast.
Did you email iTunes?
Yeah, I emailed them.
That's cool.
And I was like, can I get a feature? And they were like, yeah. And they put a banner up.
Did you get a lot more downloads?
It was like a 2-year-old episode.
Did you get a lot?
Yeah, I got a lot of downloads from it.
Well, so Marshall Stratton, I know it's done your
show. Marshall, yeah. By the way, I don't think Marshall will do it anymore. Everyone you've named will either won't do the show anymore or is not allowed to do the show anymore. Marshall does not respond to my emails anymore. Obviously, Sashir is not going to do it. And by the way, I knew Sashir before New York.
Right, because he was from Virginia. Not West Virginia, Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah, she went to UVA.
Yeah.
And I met her through Natasha Vainblatt, who was one of my best friends growing up. And is the wife of my best friend Eric, who is a regular on my show. Natasha won't do my show anymore. Our friendship sort of ended.
That's so sad.
A little bit to do with the show.
Wow.
Bizarrely, I'm still best friends with Eric, so I notice that Natasha's never home when I go to hang out with him. I've never really brought it up to either of them, okay. But I kind of notice.
All right.
It's a lonely life. Being the host of Pot Awful, I gotta find a new group of people every once in a while.
I think my friend Josh Benjamin probably would do the show. He's the one I called in that did the Fiverr for you, the Mammy voice.
Oh, is that him?
He's a funny dude.
Yeah, he should come on.
I'll let him know.
Josh, if you're listening. Here's the thing. If anyone is listening and they're like, this doesn't sound that bad, I would do your show. Or
also let you guys know, Jesse's not like a most you hit today, I'd say it's like a 4 out of 10. Like when we were on this, like hardcore Jesse level.
Yeah, I was trying not to be pot awful. I challenge the people who are like UCB people, particularly that listen to this, who are in that community, in that sort of comedy circle. I challenge you if you think you can do my show, and this isn't to say like you're going to come on, I'm going to force you to do Mark stuff. I don't make everyone do that.
You're making it sound, is my stuff a lot worse than everyone else?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, Jesus, you're making everyone do your show again, man.
I know, that's the point. No, I'm just kidding.
You emailed me this week, to my show soon.
Come do my show, Mark. I want you back on so bad, it's been so long. All of your shows are great. Every single one of your shows that you've been on is a home run, not a joke.
Thank you.
But I challenge the people.
I think the same about every episode of Hit the Mark I've been on so far.
that's true, yeah.
I'm very happy with it.
So the Hit the Mark listeners that are in these circles, my challenge to you, contact me, come on my show. I'm a nice guy. I am not this mean person. And I feel like I have a slight, if I have any reputation at all in this community, it's a bad one. If you've ever heard of me, it's probably not good things. Or it's like that you've heard that I do a show. So this is the show that you heard about. Come do it. I would love to have you guys on. I would love to be friends. I'd love to still do improv, all that stuff. I feel like the outsider and like I'm not allowed to do it. So I challenge you to come do it. Contact me. My email is dirtyhispaniclawyer@podawful.com. That's not a joke. You can really email me at that. And if you don't like that, put whatever before @podawful.com. here's the other challenge. If you are one of these people who has been banned or kicked off or doesn't like me or doesn't like me because of this interview, also email me and tell me off. I want to be told off. I want to know why you feel the way you do and why I'm a shitty person. I've gotten, some pretty terrible hate
before
from people who, knew me and stuff. And they're like, and they did it anonymously, and I figured out who it was.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be anonymous. I won't call you out or anything. I would love to hear it. Again, Dirty Hispanic Lawyer at PodAwful.com. Sorry, it was the last one that was available. There's no more email addresses, people. That was it. Whatever. Contact at PodAwful.com. Send me an email. We'll either get you on the show or you can tell me off or whatever you want. I would love for that to happen. I don't care if anyone checks out the show. Check out the episodes with Mark just because you like Mark. But I don't care about that part of it. I would love feedback on me as a human being. And that's not an ego thing. That is a I'm willing to learn.
That's good. That's mature, right?
I'm trying. I'm really trying, Mark. All right. I really am. And if you got a Macklemore haircut, buzz it.
All right, so I feel like we should get ready to wrap up.
Yeah.
What's about Jesse that people might not know that you're okay sharing that?
God, I'm a pretty fucking open book.
I know. This has been a really open episode, too.
You want to know a thing that I don't know if I've ever been told on Pod Awful?
Sure.
This is an exclusive. It's improv-related. It's actually how I got into doing improv. And it's the second most embarrassing thing of my life. The first time I ever went to the improv theater where I started performing in Virginia was for my birthday as a guest, as a person watching. Yeah. They called me up on stage. I'd been sitting there for some time, and I had to pee very badly. I wasn't nervous to go on stage. I went on stage all the time. I just needed to fucking go to the bathroom. And as they made me go outside. It was like a guessing game sort of improv thing. It was like short form.
Yeah.
And so they made me go outside and wait with another person, a performer out there. And I was like, do you mind if I just run and use the bathroom while we wait out here? Because it's going to be like a 5-minute wait out there. They're like, sorry, you can't go in. You might hear something. I'm like, I got to pee real bad. They wouldn't let me. And I go on stage and I piss my pants on stage in front of everybody on my birthday.
Wow.
Within a year, I performed at that theater. And I don't know how long it took her to figure it out, but the manager of that theater did eventually figure out that I was that same kid. No one that I was with, no one in my like party or anything ever brought it up. No one said anything. They definitely knew, but I like pissed my pants on stage. It was not like a nervous thing. It wasn't that. It was literally my bladder is so full I can't hold it any longer. So that was my first time doing improv.
Nice.
Pissing my pants.
That's
the second most embarrassing moment of my life.
I'm not even gonna ask about the verse. That's a pretty good fact to share.
That's exclusive.
Yeah, thank you. Wow. Okay, so what about things you're looking forward to that are coming up that do not involve you, like a movie, a TV show, a book, a play?
Star Wars. Star Wars: The Force Awakens.
I cannot wait.
You can't be mad after you're dead, but I would be so mad if I died before that came out. I want to see it so bad. Nothing. There's been no information coming out about it. There's been no real good solid leaks about it. You know,
there's a trailer coming out with the Ultron movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm excited about that too.
Yeah,
I am a geek. I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. Yeah. And I'm like very not nerdy in other ways. People might not assume that about me. I don't know. I don't know what people assume about me. But
long hair and a goatee, you're not a geek.
Yeah, I don't know. I look like a stoner, I guess, but I don't smoke weed.
Yeah, you do look like a stoner.
I've never smoked weed in my life, but huge Star Wars nerd, can tell you anything about Star Wars, know it all. Nice. And so I'm very excited about Star Wars.
Cool. What about plugs for you, Twitter, Tumblr, shows?
The name on all social media is PodAwful. I'm live.
No weird spelling.
No, PodAwful. There's no E in awful, you idiot. A lot of people spell it that way. I'm live. We do a live show, so it's live every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern time at podawful.tv. There's a live video stream. There's a chat room. You can call in. Check out an episode Mark is on. Everything else is at podawful.com. I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, all of that. And my life is PodAwful. Like, everything comedy I do
pretty
now
much, yeah, yeah,
is that show. And I consider myself a comedian because I put a lot of fucking work into it.
Like, you make me feel like I do nothing in my podcast.
Well, that's not true, but I do work slightly harder at it.
No, that's fair.
Just for the sheer fact that I gotta be clicking stuff while it's going on.
It's really intense being in the studio with you.
It's insane. And when you watch it, you'll go, oh, he's got a studio, but it's really just my shitty Flatbush bedroom.
It's still a studio, though.
But it looks like people tell me, like, okay, it looks like you rented a space. No, not the
case. You're like, I live in my studio.
I live inside my radio studio. So, yeah, I'd love it if you check. If you're going to check it out, I'd love it if you check it out live. And season 9 does start this Sunday.
Well, yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday. It started. Guys, we're in. Oh, and check out my YouTube. YouTube.com/podawful. I'd love it if you subscribe to my videos. There, again, it's like a video and audio podcast, so I put out a lot of video stuff. Yeah. It's fun.
All right. My plugs quickly, at MarkLevy85. If you want to email the show, htmpod@gmail.com. A couple of fun plugs coming up. Off the top of my head, on April 29th at 11 p.m. at the Treehouse Theater, I will be hosting the first ever improv bingo. More on that coming. It's going to be fun. It's going to be weird. Really excited. Me and Annie Wohler are putting that together. I'm going to announce today the cast, well, the team's performance of The Bucket for May 7th, which I'm stoked by. Okay, so we have Hussein, which is an amazing indie team. That's a lot. That couple of the people on the show have been on that team have been on the show. Apollo, which is one of my favorite more recent Herald teams, and older Herald team Rocks.
Wow.
They're doing a reunion, so very excited about that. Cool. That's also Treehouse, $1 or a drink. And you know, I'll always be letting you guys know about shows and stuff. Jesse, thank you so much for doing this, man.
It was a lot of fun.
It's been a fun one.
Let's go take another Uber ride.
Let's do it, my friend. I'll see you guys later. Bye.